Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Celtics have a chance now to go home and eliminate the Heat with a win.
There it is. Career 38 points, 8 threes from Derek White. Man of the hour.
He sure is.
Derek freaking White. 38 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, plus 10. Excellent defense, 3 blocks. Derek White just does it all. By the way, folks, all the sound you've been hearing tonight from the game and post-game, shout out to our other producer, Rob. It's not an easy job to cut up all that audio and get it over so quickly, but he does a great job and knows a lot more about computers than I do, and maybe even more than Zach does. I don't know, though. Zach is a Bruins expert, after all, hosting a Celtics post-game show with me. Right, but Derek White tonight, and we are going to hear, thanks again to producer Rob, we are going to hear from Derek White in just a few minutes. And I think to Joe Mazzulla's point earlier, right? So Joe Mazzulla says after the game, defense led to offense. I think that was true with Derek White. He gave Al Horford quite a few flowers, but he said depth is a strength for us. And it's funny because a lot of times this year when we've talked about the Celtics, and when I say we, I mean collectively here in New England, we've talked about they got the best starting five in the NBA. They got the best top six in the NBA. But we've always wondered, hey, what about their depth, right? With Cornette, with Pritchard, with these guys. But I think when you look at their depth of talent, they have now they might not have a bench that's nine guys deep, but you know what? How many teams that win the NBA Finals with star power really have a bench that's nine guys deep? Not saying it never happens, but not as often as maybe you think. But what they do have is a depth of talent, and what I mean by that is Derek White would probably be a number two on a lot of other teams, at least a number three, but there's a lot of teams in the NBA. He'd be a number two, and he's what, the number four option? So with KP out, he slides up to number three. And not only did he have 38 points tonight, we might want to start having the discussion, and maybe the Celtics know this already, clutch situations, crunch time, maybe we got to find a way to get Derek White the ball. And I'm not just saying that to say, oh, you know, Tatum can't do it, Brown can't do it. No, like, I think those guys can be, you know, they've had clutch performances. I know those end-of-game situations, they've had a little bit more trouble. But I do think when it comes to actually performing well in big games, Tatum and Brown have done that, right? We know Tatum said, you know, 46 in Milwaukee in 2022, 51 against Philly last year. But in that key moment, it feels like Derek White just not fazed by the pressure at all. And tonight, he, you know, 38 points in a game that Porzingis gets hurt to. Again, that could have been a big emotional letdown. Derek White from the jump in this game was awesome. Like I mentioned, he has the 38 points. But, I mean, we're sitting at, he had 16 points in the first quarter. He was the best player on the floor on either team in the first quarter. 16 first quarter points. What is he? Falls up 6 more in the second quarter, despite resting a little bit. So 22 points in the first half. Then he comes out in the third quarter, scores 11 more. This dude's entering the fourth quarter with 33 points and the Celtics in absolute cruise control in this. And again, in those key moments, right, the Celtics go through that four-minute scoring drought in the second quarter. Then Derek White has some big buckets. In the third quarter, Celtics have a little bit of a scoring issue midway through that quarter or so. Derek White has those two dunks in the lane. Like, those are huge. So it's not just 38 points. It's a 38 really impactful points in multiple spots. And speaking of Derek White, going to hear from him right now. This is Derek White after the game tonight.
Derek, how did you just kind of break into the game and get the shots that you did and, you know, kind of get going to the level you did tonight? And you had some slower starts earlier in this series, but just kind of the ability to get off that many shots and be that effective early and often in this one.
Yeah, every game I kind of have the same mindset of just try to be aggressive, but just read what the game is telling you, not force anything, and just do what I need to do. And I got a couple good looks early, and then my team did a great job of just finding me and just empowering me to stay aggressive. So a lot of credit goes to those guys, JB, JT, KP, when he's in for us, like Al, like I couldn't do it without any of them. And so a lot of credit goes to them and allowing me to get going and get the space that I need.
What did you and Drew find there with the dunks and those just cuts that you saw?
Drew, credit to him for finding me, just slashing, and he delivered two great passes, and I just got to finish him. So that's kind of what it was, and it was fun.
And then, Derek, just how gratifying is it? I mean, all the work that you put in, everything you've done to be able to do this on this stage in the postseason, a career high.
Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm happy. Really, it's just good score, 0 points, and we win, so that's really the important part.
Hey, Derek, two-parter here. So in the second half, did you feel any difference in terms of their resistance and buckling down defensively? And two, when you're in the zone like that, especially from behind the arc, is there how do you balance out, like, when you attack the rim and when to just keep it, let it fly from behind the arc the way you did?
Yeah, your first question, we've seen it for years now. They just don't go away. They don't stop playing. Credit to them. They just kept competing. And, I think at the end there, we kind of really settled down and were able to execute down the stretch and kind of keep them at bay. So we know they're not going to quit. They're going to come and attack us at this whole series. So we know this game five is not going to be easy because of that. And, they made a play. And then, obviously, you make a couple. You kind of feel like you've got the ultimate green light so you can take some dumb ones, which I did. You just try to not do that. Just kind of continue to play within the flow of the offense. And, you try to hunt a little bit more, but I was just still trying to play within the flow of the offense.
You talk about it being fun. I mean, after that second dunk, you're like, I got him again. Just take us through that moment. Do you feel the momentum shifting on the floor? What does that moment kind of do for the team?
I'm just having fun out there, and the bench is going crazy. So you're really just having fun with your teammates. They're going crazy, and you're just kind of yelling whatever you're yelling at the moment. I guess that's what I said. And just having fun, competing, be at the highest level on the biggest stage. That's what it's all about.
Derek, I can tell you're really modest about this, but what does it feel like when you're in the zone like you were tonight? Can you explain that to us, what that feels, especially in the first half? 6 of 9 from three, it seemed like you were making everything.
Yeah, it's unreal. I think any person that kind of gets a couple going in and you start making some tough ones, and then you feel like you just can't miss. That basket's huge. So, it's awesome. It was a lot of fun. Just got to kind of trying to move on to the next one because I know it's not going to be easy. And I've had great games in the past in the playoffs, and I didn't really respond well, so I'm not trying to repeat that.
first off, KP just tweeted, good W tonight, D-White is special, so there's that.
Shout out, KP.
What was just your reaction in the moment of seeing just like his initial hobbling, going down, seeing him back in the locker room after the game? And how do you feel like you guys have been good at like knowing how to play without him, because you've had a lot of experience doing that during the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, always the best for him. I mean, you hate to see that happen. He works so hard. One of the best players in this game. So, I told him we got his back, and he's going to do what he needs to do to get the treatment and to do what he needs to do to try to get back with us. But, I mean, Al stepped up and did what Al Horford does. And so having a guy like that is just the ultimate luxury. I think Luke came in and gave us good minutes too. So we got a lot of trust and faith in this whole roster, and we're going to need everybody.
That was Derek White following the game tonight again. 38 points. He was spectacular tonight. And just build it like his season this year, because the big word around the Celtics, right, has been sacrifice. Like Jaylen Brown's numbers gone down a little, Tatum's numbers gone down a little, Porzingis, right? All these guys, Drew Holiday, his numbers taken really the biggest hit. But then you have Derek White, right? So this year he sets a career high in minutes. Then he has a career high in 3-point shooting percentage. His rebounds were a career high. His assists were almost a career high, second best of his career. And his points, same deal, almost a career high, close second best. So second best of his career in points and assists, best in his career in rebounds, best in his career shooting the three, and best in his career as far as minutes per game go. And, of course, I know he had a higher three-point percentage in 2017, but he only played 17 games that year, so I'm going to push that one aside. I'm saying of the seasons he's played, you know, the majority of the games or fuller seasons. I mean, this has been the best season of Derek White's career. And he said something that I thought really stood out. He wants to respond to this well. He said, I've had some good games in the playoffs before, and I haven't followed it up with great games after that. And I think that's an awesome mindset to have, because they're going to need it without Porzingis, right? They're going to need Horford, 34 minutes tonight. They're going to need a bigger night from him, maybe bigger night than he's accustomed to, but a night similar tonight from Horford in game five. They're going to need a much bigger night from Luke Kornet, most likely. He only played a few minutes tonight. They're going to need that, right? And Derek White's another guy. They need Derek White to stack good games on top of each other. And he's done that all season. So just continue that into the playoffs. And I mentioned, look, the Celtics can probably beat the Heat in five or six games without getting into a clutch situation and needing a basket. But they're going to need one in round two. And if they get to the conference finals, the NBA finals, they're going to need one. Talked about this with KJ Carson yesterday. Every team that wins the NBA championship has at least one, if not two, games in every series. They have to grind out. They don't just hit threes, and they really have to earn it. Derek White, folks, his offensive rating in the clutch, and by the way, for those who don't know, the clutch, 5-point game in the last 5 minutes. His offensive rating in the clutch, 128.3, best on the Celtics. His net rating in the clutch, best on the Celtics. So we all remember game 6 last year where he had that tip in to win the game, and that was an amazing moment. But it's not just that one moment. He followed it up this year by being their best clutch player. In those moments, he's been objectively, look at the numbers, and you know, hey, a lot of you out there, you guys watch every game. I watch every game. Watch them play. He has been their most calm and stable guy in the clutch. And I'm not one of those people that thinks Tatum is soft and Brown is soft and they can't perform in the clutch and they're never going to hit those shots. But let's be fair here. Tatum has had some struggles in those moments. He's had clutch performances, but in those end of game moments, he's had some struggles. Derek White, again, best offensive rating on the team in the clutch. Best net rating on the team in the clutch. Take the ratings out of it. Use your eyes. He's good in the clutch. I mean, we might be at the point now, and I'm not saying to take the ball out of Tatum and Brown's hands every time. I mean, go back to those back-to-back losses in Atlanta. I know they lost, but Jaylen Brown did hit the big go-ahead shot. I think it was in overtime against Atlanta in that second one. Atlanta just made a shot right after. But, like, Brown can hit those shots. Tatum can hit those shots and have big clutch performances. But they have a real third option. And I think we're at the point now where maybe Derek White should start being the first or second option, at least sometimes in the clutch. And that's, look, again, Tatum's had some struggles in those moments, but this is more about how good Derek White's been. I mean, a 128 offensive rating at any point in the game is freaking sick. And he's doing it in the clutch. And he's got the best net rating on the team in the clutch. I think you got to get this guy the ball. He doesn't have to take every shot at the end of every game. But I think you got to start getting this guy the ball in key moments. And I think tonight, again, they didn't have a clutch situation by the numbers, right? That last 5 minutes, 5 points thing. But after that Porzingis injury, and they had that scoring drought in the second quarter, he was a major factor in them responding from that. So even though that doesn't show up in the stat sheet as a clutch situation, that's not going to help his clutch offensive rating. But that is a clutch moment. And yeah, I know but the guy who has been destined to help you win a championship in Kristaps Porzingis goes down. It looks bad. You're on the road against a team that eliminated you last year. You go through a few minutes where you don't score. You got to respond. There's a lot of teams that would have turtled there and not responded, including probably last year's Celtics. Instead, they respond and they win. And who's leading the charge? Derek White. And Tatum had a good game as well. But who's leading the charge? Derek White. He is turning into the best clutch player on the team. And again, Tatum had 51 in Game 7 against Philly last year. I'm not taking that away from him. This is about how good Derek White has been in the clutch. And to talk more about that, and of course, everything else Celtics, we're going to have Justin Turpin of WEEI.com, covers the Celtics for WEEI.com. He's going to be joining us next, right after we trend with Zach Goh.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Celtics post game until midnight. Celtics win 102-88. A couple other scores from the NBA. The Thunder finished off the Pelicans 97-89. That is a sweep for OKC. Don't look now, folks. That team is going to be a terror in the NBA this year and in several years to come. Lakers are up by 6 on the Nuggets, 56-50 early in the third quarter. Nuggets lead that series 3-1. But here to help us talk more about the Celtics, their big win, the Porzingis injury, the growing legend of Derek White, is Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. He covers the Celtics for WEEI.com. Turp, Pleasure to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you? And the only other growing legend in the city is you, John Lyons, you and Derek White. I love it. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Before we go any further, Zach, if you could just cut that and just make it like the pinned tweet on WEEI's Twitter account. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Terp. Terp, I want to get to this game. Look, everybody wants to know about KP. So I want to get to this game, but I want to start with KP. You saw the injury. You saw the post game. What is your takeaway of this injury and what it means for Porzingis and his future the rest of the playoffs?
In the moment, I think everyone's eye, like mine, went to the same place, right? It's just a routine dribble handoff. You see a big guy come up with a non-contact injury. I think everyone immediately thinks towards the Achilles. Yeah. And Woj kind of gave us the reassurance there early on that it wasn't an Achilles injury. But if this is a calf, so the first thing I went back and looked at is because Porzingis missed a handful of games earlier this year because of a calf injury. That was actually his left calf. This is a right calf injury, so it's not the same thing. It wasn't kind of a re-aggravated thing. But obviously, this is the worst thing that could have happened for the Celtics. This was the guy that last game Jason Tatum was talking about. He's the most important piece to what they want to accomplish. Jaylen Brown reiterated that this morning. Everyone knows how important he is moving forward for the Celtics, and they did everything they can all year to kind of keep him fresh, keep him healthy, to try to prevent something like this from happening. But I think everyone knew this was kind of an inherited risk with Porzingis, and this kind of comes with them. Like, it's kind of like Gronk in a way. You know, when he's on the court, they're damn near unstoppable, but you got to worry about his health. And I think that's what kind of happened tonight, where that you kind of had those worries. But moving forward, it sounds like this is going to be kind of a week-to-week thing. So it's really not the end of the world for the Celtics, but definitely it's going to test them because this has been a safety valve for them. And I think especially against Miami, like you look at game one, Porzingis was dominant. Again in game three, really outside of game two, he had his way against Miami. So this is going to test them, and it's going to be, I mean, obviously not a test you want in the postseason. At this point, you should be all over, like all done with the test, but that's what it's going to be for the Celtics. And now it's going to be guys like Al Horford, even maybe Xavier Tillman and Luke Kornet, they're going to have to fill some roles in there, fill some voids. So it's going to be a test for them.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a coincidence, off your point, Terp, that Porzingis' worst game in the series was the one game the Celtics have lost so far. I think that makes a big difference.
100%.
Yeah, and so I want to follow up on that, though, because I thought tonight the Celtics responded really well to Porzingis going down, right? Because he goes down in the second quarter. They have that four-minute scoring drought. You know, they could have turtled, and there's plenty of teams that would have. They respond, they win. Derek White has a huge night. But you mentioned it. Tatum has talked about before, like, hey, this guy's the most important piece for us to win a championship. You know, other guys have talked about how important he is. Porzingis is having a blast here in Boston. So I know they responded really well tonight. But how do you anticipate they respond going forward? Not just game five against Miami and potentially game six, but if they get to round two. Like, do you think they're going to be able to respond to this well, or is this going to give them some real problems without him?
I think they have enough talent to respond. It's definitely going to give them problems because he's been their safety valve for the whole season. Anytime you need to kind of get the offense going, just get it to Porzingis right around the free throw line, right around the nail, and let him go to work in the post. And he's the answer to all their problems. So it's going to test them. But I think if you said teams that would have turtled, right, I think I would throw last year's Celtics in that conversation.
I agreed completely.
But now they have so many different outlets, right, where Derek White's kind of just elevated his game to a whole other level, highlighted by tonight with his 38 points. Drew Holiday is another one where he's going to have to get going offensively. Like, when I'm looking at Kristaps Porzingis going down, you know what Tatum, you know what Brown, you know what Derek White can bring you. Drew Holiday can bring you good production on the offensive end, but it really hasn't been the case for the first three games of this series. He got back to it tonight, was a little bit better tonight. Really, I liked his aggressiveness, especially early. But looking at it now, I just think, like, those guys are going to have to step up. So it's undoubtedly going to give them problems because that's your guy. Like, anytime you need a kind of break, you need just a breakthrough, you need to get the offense going, give it a Porzingis. So this is going to test them, but I think now they just have so many other outlets where – don't get me wrong, if the Celtics are going to get to where they want to be, it starts and ends with Porzingis. But for the time being, for the next round, for the rest of this series, into the next round, I think they have enough outlets that they can survive.
Yeah, so it feels like you feel, even without Porzingis, this team should still be in the conference finals in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think undoubtedly. I don't think, like, when you're looking at the Eastern Conference, I mean, they finished, what, 14 games ahead in the Eastern Conference. I just think there's such a massive talent gap in the East, and the Celtics are reign supreme in there. And I think Milwaukee was one that everyone was looking at the beginning of the year, and obviously they didn't transpire much of anything. It's been a nightmare season for them. I think you look at the next round, like I think the Cavs or the Magic can give the Celtics problems, specifically on the offensive end, like with their length on the defense. I think they can give them problems, but I just think the Celtics have so many outlets, and I think those teams are a lot more – whoever they're going to see in the next round. Orlando's obviously a very young team, and Cleveland went last year, but this is still like kind of a younger core. They really haven't made much noise in the postseason. So when you're looking at them, like I think they can give the Celtics some problems, but there's still just such a talent gap between them and the Celtics that I just can't see them losing in the series.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with that. A guy, though, I think, Terp, that is going to have to step up, especially minute-wise, if they are going to continue to advance without Porzingis, is Al Horford. And the biggest, like, Al Horford had 7 points tonight. He had 8 rebounds. But to me, Terp, the number that stood out most was 34, and that's how many minutes he played. And we know Al Horford has been great in the playoffs before, but now he's a little bit older. You know, he's had a diminished role this year, at least minutes-wise. Do you think Al Horford can step in and shoulder a big load here while Porzingis is out?
I do, and I think that goes back to kind of what we were talking about with Porzingis, the way they managed him throughout the season, not playing back-to-backs. They really try to manage his minutes, try to prevent this from happening. And you look at Al, they really did a good job of managing him too. Naturally, coming off the bench, that takes some tax off your body. You're playing less minutes. He wasn't playing in back-to-back. So he's fresh. And I think last year we saw specifically in the Eastern Conference Finals where Al wasn't the Al Horford that we had, that the Celtics had all the way through. You know what I mean? It just
yeah, or even the year before on their road to the finals. Yeah,
right. He ran out of gas towards the end, but he didn't play as much this year, right? I think the limited role kind of helped him, and he's proven that no matter what role he's in, he can jump in and provide a spark like nothing's happened. So I think you can trust Al Horford moving forward, especially if this is only going to be a couple week thing. Like, he's proven that he can be a really impactful player. He can give you more minutes. And I actually love the quote from him yesterday at Shoot Around where he said he would have played on a back-to-back. He was ready to go. So he seems fresh. He seems ready to go. And obviously, we'll see how that goes with time because, like you said, 34 minutes, that's a lot for someone his age. But I think he's proven that he can come in, give a spark no matter what role he's playing. And obviously, he's going to be thrust into the starting lineup now. So I think that's kind of good thing about this team is you had so much depth. Everyone's been talking about this top six, and like Al Horford, in reality, if you look around the league, is a starter on most other teams. So that's kind of, you're getting him back in. So I think he can fill that void for the time being.
And I want to get back to tonight's game itself. One thing that Scal and Mike Gorman, you know, made quite a note of several times on the broadcast was the difference in the officiating. In game two, there was 30 fouls called. Tonight, there were 38 foul calls. So there were, you know, 8 more fouls called. And it felt like some, you know, closer, I don't want to say the word ticky-tack, the phrase ticky-tack, but so, you know, fouls that just would not have been called in game two were called. Did you make any notice of the officiating? Do you think it was a big deal? Do you think it was called significantly differently? What was your thoughts on the officiating tonight?
Really, since the All-Star break, the officiating's been kind of up and down in the NBA, where it's been a topic of discussion seemingly weekly. So I completely agree with those guys, though. I think there were some calls, like you said, that might have been on that borderline, like ticky-tacky, like, you know, that wouldn't have been called in game two or three. But it is kind of interesting. It's just there's been no consistency. I think that's my biggest problem with it. Is like, you want to let these guys play, but then you're calling these ticky-tacky calls. So I just wish there was more consistency. And that's been kind of the case, like I said, since the All-Star break, where scoring was at an all-time high. And it seems like in an effort to combat that, the officials started swallowing their whistles a little bit. Now we're kind of seeing them, you know, go back to calling fouls. So I don't really understand it. I think the more thing I would hope for is just more consistency. I think that's the one thing to me that really has stood out, because like, it's just impossible to get a read on what they're calling some games and what they're not the others.
Terp, what did you make, and we're talking with Justin Turpin of WEI.com. Terp, what did you make of the Celtics defense tonight? Because the Heat only scored 88 points, only 12 points in the second quarter, but I actually thought the Celtics defense in game three was better than tonight. It felt like Miami had quite a few open shots tonight. Do you agree with that, or do you think the defense was really good tonight and I'm overreacting?
I think the defense was definitely better in game three. There was some better looks for Miami, especially early. Miami was getting a lot of good looks. That first 5 minutes, the Celtics defense really came out slow. Well, we didn't see that in game three. The Celtics were locked in for the entirety of the game. They really started off slow, and they had some lapses tonight. But when you look at the 88 points, I think you're right, John. Like, I think that's part of it is what we're looking at, right, with this Miami Heat team. Like, no Terry Rozier, no Jimmy Butler. Like, that's kind of what we're looking at. But it's still impressive when it's they're professional basketball players. To hold them under 90 points is a big deal. But I definitely think the Celtics' defense was better in game three. I think there, like I said, there were some lapses tonight, but for the most part, their defense has been rock solid. I mean, three of the four games, they've held them under 100 points. Like, that's a big deal in today's NBA, especially like we were just talking about with the scoring. So I think the defense has been good, but I would agree that game three was a lot better, but I don't think it was necessarily a problem tonight.
Yeah, that's fair. And as far as Derek White, you mentioned him a little bit earlier. What were your thoughts on his game tonight? Also afterwards, he talked about, you know, kind of stacking good games together, you know, following this game up with a good game. I mean, what are your thoughts on his game tonight? And also, do you think we're going to start to see more performances like this? Maybe not career highs every night, but more performances like this as the playoffs progress?
Well, I think it goes back to the Porzingis injury, too. Like, they're going to need it. Like you said, not necessarily career highs, but they're going to need more production from everybody. And I think Derek White is one you immediately look at. Like, he's proven that he's capable of doing this. Like, this is nothing new. He's proven that he can explode. And just with the way he played on both ends of the floor tonight, I just loved his game. Like, he shot 8 3-pointers tonight, almost made more threes than Miami as a team. Miami had 9, Derek White had 8. You look at his blocks, he had 3 blocks. Miami also had 3. So, I mean, I loved his game on both ends of the floor. And it's funny, we had Danny Green on the Slam podcast earlier this week, and one word that he used to describe Derek White was, he's just a winner. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people, that's the first word that comes to mind when you're talking about Derek White. He's just a winner. He makes winning plays. He makes all these plays that really might go unnoticed. And he's just such a scrappy player. He just plays so well on both ends of the floor. So when I'm looking at moving forward, like, again, not saying they're going to need 38 from every night, but they're going to need him to step up the production with Kristaps Porzingis out. And he's proven he can do it. And I think he's been rock solid defensively, both him and Drew, for most of the series, maybe with the exception of game two, because I don't think anyone was really good defensively in game two. But really for this whole series, him and Drew have been outstanding on the defensive end. So Derek White, if they're going to get to where they want to be, obviously he's going to play a big part of it. And there's no surprise that ever since he's come to Boston in the trade, I mean, the record shows for itself. And, you know, so does his plus minus and so does his advanced metrics. So he's just a winning player. And tonight that was on full display.
Justin, who wins game five and why?
I am going to go with the Celtics in game five. I just think they're going to be hungry. They don't want to go back to Miami. I think right now, like, you're seeing, like, this is a physical game, and it's a marathon. The NBA playoffs is a marathon. It's hard fought, it's physical, and the least amount of games you can play, it goes without saying, the better. And I don't think they want to go back to Miami. Like, the Celtics have done a good job of matching the physicality, but that doesn't mean they want to do it for an extra 48 minutes just because they can't take care of business at home. I think in taking care of business at home, like, that's been kind of a point of emphasis this year. They know they haven't been able to do that. Last year, they made things harder for themselves because they couldn't close out at home. So I think this is like a really – this is a big game for them. They're not going to enter this looking at it like they're up 3-1. They're going to look in to come and take care of business because they know – if they don't, they're just going to make things harder for themselves. And they've all year been talking about learning from their mistakes. And I think this would be a good way to prove that you are. Just come out, take care of business against a clearly inferior team, win it in five, and move on. And then it's looking right now like that Cavs-Magic game to that series, that's 2-2. Like, that could go the distance. So you have a couple extra days to rest in between there. So I think game five is a sneaky big one for the Celtics.
All right, he is Justin Turpin. He covers the Celtics for WEEI.com. Justin, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking the time to come on.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, John.
Of course. And you know, I thought Justin made a good point at the end there about home court being important because, I mean, home court's something that you look over the last few years, like the Tatum-Brown Celtics, when they've lost playoff series, more often they've lost multiple home playoff games. I mean, you look at last year in the conference finals, they lost 3 home playoff games, including Game 7, right? And, of course, let's not forget before that, right? Didn't they lost Game 1 to Philly in that series? They lost Game 5 to Atlanta the series before, like these home playoff losses. But then Golden State, right? They get eliminated the year before. Multiple home playoff losses. So this is something that's been a problem for them for a while. And, of course, they've already lost Game 2 at home, is losing playoff games at home. And they have been much, much better this year at home. They've been the best team in the NBA at home. But now they got to do it in the playoffs, right? So they're 1-1 at home, stack on another win. Be 2-1 at home, protect that home court, get yourself an extra few days off before you play either the Cavs or the Magic. Maybe Porzingis has extra time to rest so he can come back towards the end of that series. All right, probably not till the conference finals, but, you know, depending on how quickly you eliminate these Heat. You don't want to give a Heat team life. You know, what if they win Game 5 and all of a sudden Terry Rozier comes back for Game 6? You know, they get to Game 7 and Jimmy Butler hobbles out there and breaks your heart, right? So just don't give them any life. They're coming up here. This is so much like Atlanta last year. Atlanta is down 3-1. They come up here without Murray. It's a game you should win and you lose. This year, Miami's coming up here down 3-1 without Butler, without Rozier. It's a game you should win. So this year, Celtics, all year, they've been different, right? Even their slogan, right? Different here, right? Their hashtag. They have been different than last year and the year before. All year, they've won these games they would have lost. They've grinded out wins. They've been better in the clutch. Well, now let's show it again in the playoffs. Right.
Celtics at home in the playoffs since 18-19 are 18-21.
Yeah, and impactful losses. Like, what's Game 7 against Miami, Game 6 against Golden State. I mean, if you count the bubble, they lost multiple home games. I use air quotes. Those aren't really home games, but still, right? Like Philly, Game 1, you lose last year. So Milwaukee, remember that Game 5 against Milwaukee in 2022? Yuck. That home loss. So point impact, not just home losses, but impactful home losses. So that's something, again, Terp mentioned that at the end of his call, and thank you again to Justin Turpin for joining us, which I think is a really good point, right? And guys are going to have to step up without Porzingis in Game 5. You're going to need a lot from Horford. You're going to need more from Kornet. You don't need a career high from Derek White in points, but, you know, you are going to need him to step up more. And I think Jrue Holiday as well. You know, we might forget, Jrue Holiday's a guy who averaged 19 points a game last year. He's just taken a back seat offensively because you have Tatum, Brown, and Porzingis, and White, and Pritchard, and Hauser, and all these guys that can score. But he averaged 19 points a game last year. He had 11 tonight. So this guy can give you a game in the playoffs with 17 or 20 points, and he can help you win one. Maybe they get a game like that from Holiday in Game 5, or Game 1 of the next series, helps them win a game. All right? We have one segment left here on Celtics postgame with John Lyons. If you want to chime in, 617-779-7937. I'll take any and all calls coming up in our next segment, and we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Tatum slams the ball down. That's going to do it.
Derek White should keep that ball. That's where Derek White should definitely keep that ball.
The game is lifetime. Again, so I'm wandering around out in Miami here. And he was just having a nice afternoon in the sun. I have to bring up the heater all the time. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a minute.
Final segment here on Celtics Post Game on WEEI. I'm John Lyons. Big shout out to our producers, Zach Coe and Rob, getting all this audio together, producing. By the way, Zach, you are our resident Bruins expert. And when I say, I mean, like, Andrew Raycroft works for the station, and so does Bridget Pruitt and Scott McLaughlin. But I'm going to call you. Right now, they're not here. So you're the Bruins expert. Do they close it out tomorrow in Game 5?
I think they do. I think they get it done.
Yeah. I think so, too. Right? And if not, I'm not in tomorrow night, but I will be here for Celtics post game on Wednesday. And if there is a Bruins game 6, I will be here on Thursday for that. But hopefully I won't need to be, because they'll close it out tomorrow, as same with the Celtics. Zach, we got any text to read on text line?
Yep, we got one. Someone saying that Celtics better not use it as a crutch if Porzingis is going to miss significant time.
Yeah, and look. And I would agree, because I think, you know, you and I have talked about it. I've said it. Justin Turpin mentioned it. Multiple callers have mentioned it. The Celtics are good enough without Porzingis to get to the NBA Finals. Now, if you get to the NBA Finals and you don't have Porzingis and you got to play Denver, yeah, it's probably picking Denver in that series. You got to play OKC without Porzingis. Maybe you can win, but that's kind of probably a coin flip. Same thing with Minnesota. I might pick you over Minnesota, but it's close, right? But without Porzingis, you should beat Miami. You should beat either Cleveland or Orlando. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, guys. Okay, so if they lose game 2, don't just call and go, blah, right? You said they'd win easy. No, it's not going to be easy, but they should beat Cleveland or Orlando. And then you get to the conference finals. Maybe it's a Milwaukee team with a not fully healthy Giannis and Dame. You should beat them without Porzingis. Maybe it's a Knicks team that is a good team. Jalen Brunson's been great, but you're better than them. So I think the Celtics, even without Porzingis, are good enough to go to the NBA Finals. Where Porzingis really impacts them is how difficult that road there is and their chances in an actual NBA Finals. I mean, you play Denver without Porzingis. I hate to say it, but I just don't think you win that series. Play OKC without Porzingis, it's a coin flip. You know, whereas I'd probably pick the Celtics in a close series, but I'd probably pick them if you had it. We do have a couple tweets here. Tony Calvin saying, DW is big time carrying the Celtics offense with 38 points. Only concern now is Porzingis' calf injury. Hopefully not as bad as it looked. I would agree. In early indications, for those that did not hear earlier, Adrian Wojnarowski did tweet that it appears that it is not an Achilles injury. Porzingis left the locker room in a walking boot, which in itself is concerning, but he was at least putting some weight on the walking boot. And Porzingis tweeted himself that he, quote, will be good. So it was a scary moment. My heart stopped beating, but I think there are some maybe encouraging signs as well. And Paul Ross also tweets at me, Celtics back to form the last two games. I would agree. That's a good way to put it. Back to form. What we've seen all year, they bounced back, not just in game 3, but they stacked two good games on top of each other, which was something that they haven't really done in the playoffs over the last couple of years. But I think the emergence of Derek White and the increased minutes, Jrue Holiday being there. This is going to be another thing. I mentioned earlier in the show, Joe Mazzulla, like Charles Lee, Joe Mazzulla, and Sam Cassell. With Porzingis out, the rest of this series and into next series, if they get there, this is where they're really going to, I think, be able to make an impact. Because, look, coaching is important in the NBA. The players are more important. But when you lose a star like that, it increases how important coaching is. And one last note I want to mention here. Game 5 is Wednesday night. And there is a chance that it is going to be the last game that Mike Gorman is the play-by-play announcer for the Boston Celtics. Because if the Celtics win and the series is over in 5, all the games after that will be national TV only. Although I will petition the NBA to get Mike Gorman to call a finals game if the Celtics make it. He should. But, you know, he's had an incredible career. He's been the soundtrack to the Celtics since 1981. He's been the soundtrack to the Celtics my entire life. You know, some of my favorite moments watching the Celtics were games that he called. He truly is and was the best of the best when it comes to a play-by-play announcer. And from all indications, an extremely nice guy that everyone enjoys working with. So, you know, credit to Mike Gorman on an incredible career. So I do hope the Celtics win this series in five games, but there will be a little bit of a bittersweet element that it may be the last time, not maybe, it would be the last time we would hear Mike Gorman. So, look, I know you got a lot of options for how you get your Celtics content. You should read Justin Turpin on WEI.com. You should listen to Celtics postgame here on WEI with me. But when it comes to watching the game, you should tune in to Mike Gorman, especially Wednesday night. It might be your last chance to tune into Mike Gorman. And what an incredible career he's had. And just all the credit, all the respect to Mike Gorman. I can tell you, I already can't wait to watch Game 5 with Mike Gorman, even if it is the last time I get the pleasure of hearing him and seeing him call a Celtics game. That'll do it for us tonight on Celtics postgame. Celtics, again, they get a big win, 102-88 over the Heat. Kristaps Porzingis is injured, but there are some good early signs. Celtics are back in action Wednesday night, and I will be back Wednesday night after the game, so be sure to tune in then. Thank you.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.